how Jesus can make your impossible possible. So you want to put your finger in John chapter 9 this morning. We're going to run through that story in a little bit. But if you haven't been here, let me bring you up to speed. We are looking at the Gospel of John, where John highlights 7 miracles. They're not the only miracles. 7 of Jesus' many miracles. He highlights them. He writes them in his gospel called the Gospel of John. He writes them in that book in such a way as to show us something about Jesus. And every miracle points to a sign. John calls them signs. Every miracle. So the 7 that he's picked and woven together do amazing things for us. And the very first miracle in John is what we all believe to be the very first miracle that Jesus performed. He turns water into wine. And basically the sign is Jesus said, I've arrived. I'm the Messiah. I'm the promised one. And as we go into Christmas, we're going to look about the promised Messiah. And then in week 2, we learned how Jesus healed a sick man's son from a distance of 20 miles away. Jesus spoke the word. And when he spoke it, the little boy was healed. And we learned that Jesus is not limited by time or space. Isn't that great? To know that our time and our space doesn't limit Jesus. And then the third miracle we looked at was Jesus walking through the pool of Bethesda. And he picks a lame man up. And the lame man walks for probably the very first time. And we learned that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He comes to crush the rules of mankind. We learned that Jesus is able to do the impossible. Then we learned the story of how Jesus took a little boy's lunch and he fed a multitude of 20,000 people with leftovers. Imagine that, from a little boy's lunch. We found out Jesus is greater than our physical need. Last week, we talked about Jesus walking on the water. And the sign was that Jesus is God. He said, I am. And that brings us to the miracle of John chapter 9, calling it Never Say Never. As the story opens up here in John chapter 9, it really ties. If you want to read the whole thing, you got to go back and look at John chapter 8 and John chapter 9 and read them in their entirety. And in the middle of that story is this miracle, this sign. And what's happened is it's the Feast of Tabernacles is coming to a close. It's probably the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. If you've paid attention to me over the years, if you've been here with me that long, you'll know that I often remind you that in Jesus' time, there were 3 major festivals that the Jewish people would go to Jerusalem for. And this tabernacle of festivals is one of them. And so in Jerusalem, the city is swelling with people because all kinds of people have come to Jerusalem. All kinds of people have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival. And it's the last day. And throughout this festival time, Jesus has been making some remarkable statements and some remarkable teaching. He's been in the temple area teaching people. And some of them getting riled up. And the chief priests and the Pharisees, the so-called Jewish religious leaders, are unhappy with Jesus and his teaching. And the end of John chapter 8 tells us they wanted to stone him because they were so angry. And you know what that means? It means they would take him outside the city and pick up rocks and throw them at him to kill him. That's what stoning meant in the New Testament times, not what it means today. Okay? And so they wanted to stone Jesus. And John, the end of John 8, John tells us Jesus quietly slips away. In the midst of all that, rah, 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 he knows he better get out of there. It's not his time yet. And he's not going to die by stoning. He's going to die by the cross. And so he slips away. And as he's slipping away from this crowd in the temple area, we come to the opening of this story in John chapter 9, verse 1. As he went along, Jesus is slipping away. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. We'll stop there for a minute. As Jesus slips away from this angry crowd, he's walking along with his disciples and he comes upon a man who's blind from birth. Now you have to understand that it's really important. He's blind from birth. He's not a man who saw and then went blind. He's not a man who once had sight and something happened to his sight. He's a man born blind. He's born with a physical defect in his eyes. His eyes could not see. His eyes have never seen, and there was no hope that his eyes would ever see. Born blind. He's probably by the side of the road begging. Because the only thing a blind person could do in that society was beg for a living. Didn't have the social net that we have in our country. Either family and friends helped him or nobody did. Begging. Never seeing. Remember that. Never seeing. Never ever seeing. Now, if you're going to be in our small group, they're going to talk about it on the teaching this week. But if you're not there, I don't want you to miss this. So I'm going to repeat it a little bit. See, being born blind brings a lot of things with it that we don't understand. Because we're blessed with sight. So I need you to help me. I need you to close your eyes. Everybody. If you don't close your eyes, it's not going to work. Close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. I want you to imagine an apple. I mean the fruit. Now I want you to imagine a red apple. Can you see it? Can you see it? Now I want you to imagine the other kind of apple, a cell phone. In fact, imagine any cell phone. Imagine a cell phone, a flip phone. A Samsung, your favorite phone, the phone you hate, a BlackBerry, the best phone. Imagine it. Now, you see that? Keep your eyes closed. Now, especially for this one, keep your eyes closed. Imagine this stage this morning, because you've all been staring at it. Imagine me, I'm wearing a purplish shirt. Can you see it? Maybe a grayish black sweater over top. Can you see it? Open your eyes. Do you see it? Did you see the apple? Did you see a cell phone? Did you see a purple shirt? Do you know why? Because you have sight. And even though your eyes were closed, you could picture them because you had a frame of reference. But a person born blind could never imagine those things. A person born blind has no frame of reference to understand what red is, what purple is, what an apple is, what a cell phone is. No frame of reference. And the man in this story is that person. He's a man born blind. He doesn't see black. He doesn't see white. He doesn't see light. He doesn't see. There's just nothing. No imagination. No trees, no sunset, no palm trees, no beaches. No ocean. No mummy. No daddy. Blind from birth. That's what it felt like. Now imagine being born blind. Imagine what it felt like for him. Because the next words in this story are earth-shattering to him. They're not nice words. Verse 2 tells us, his disciples asked him, that's Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Imagine you're blind, you're begging on the side of the road, and there's a kerfuffle of a little group of people coming towards you, and suddenly you hear those words, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Talk about encouraging words. Talk about speaking words of life over somebody. But you need to understand, in the Jewish mindset, incorrectly, they thought that somebody's illness or somebody's sickness or somebody's birth defect was a direct cause of somebody's sin. Now, yeah, in the bigger picture, we're all a direct cause of Adam and Eve's sin. But they didn't think that far back. They, you know, whose fault is it? Is his fault? Is it his parents' fault? Now remember, the man is blind. He's not deaf. He hears this. He's begging alms for the poor, alms for the blind. Help me to live. And he hears the disciples say, "Rabbi, who sinned? Him or his parents?" Alms for the poor? Words are crushing. You see, it's a legalistic question. It's legalism. See, legalism is an attempt to earn God's favor by what you do. Legalism says, "God, if I do this for you, you have to do this for me." It's a dangerous place to live. Because following Jesus is about holiness and obedience, not about legalism. Legalism infers, "God, I do something, you owe me." Holy living says, "God, Jesus died for me, I owe you." You see the difference? Legalism says, "God, if I'm good enough, I'll get rich." Holiness says, "God, I don't deserve to live. Let me live my life for you." See, Jesus came to crush legalism. That's why the Pharisees and the chief priests and the teachers of the law didn't know what to do with him, because they lived for legalism. Their whole life for generations and hundreds of years was wrapped up in legalism. And Jesus came to tear it down. Because Jesus has no time for legalism. He didn't then, and he doesn't today. No time. Remember, he healed the man by the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. Because the legalists said, "You can't heal on the Sabbath." And Jesus said, "I could heal whenever I want." He had no time for legalism. So Jesus is correcting the disciples' improper, legalistic view of what's wrong with the blind man. Nothing's wrong with him. He was just born with a genetic defect. It's not his parents' fault. It's not his fault. It's just part of the curse of this world in the age that we live in. But Jesus offers the blind man real hope. Great hope. Jesus is about to offer him something he's never imagined that could be. Regardless of what caused this man to be born blind, without the ability for sight, he can't see light. God is about to be revealed in him and through him. I want you to know that Jesus offers you hope today. Regardless of the position you find yourself in today, maybe it wasn't even because of your own doing. The blind man did nothing wrong, but he was born blind. I want you to know that if the power of God could be revealed in the blind man, the power of God could be revealed in your life and in your situation today. God is able to turn your situation around, just like he's about to do for a man born blind. Then Jesus makes a very unusual statement. It's kind of in the middle of this miracle story, Jesus comes out with some bold statements in verse 4 and 5. As long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I mean, it's a great statement. Look at it on the screen. It's powerful words. But, what's this got to do with the miracle? Nothing. Everything. Nothing. Everything. As long as it's day, we must work because night's coming. And when night comes, nobody could work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is teaching his disciples and everybody else who's listening, including the blind man, that he was sent here to do what the Father told him to do. He was here to do what God the Father has instructed him to do and be. That he is the light that overcomes darkness. That blindness is the absence of light, but light overcomes blindness. So imagine here's a man sitting in the dust, begging on the side of the road. The city is full. People are there for festival. He's probably not far from the temple. Jesus has left the temple and come across him. I mean, the place to beg is near the temple that day, that whole week. That's where everybody's gathering. That's where people are. They're going to feel good coming out of church. They'll give me some coin. You know? He knows what he's doing. He's begging there. And as he sits there, now remember with me, as he sits there, blind but not deaf, he hears the disciples say, "Rabbi, who sinned?" And he hears, "I am the light of the world." "Rabbi, who sinned?" And the blind man hears, "I am the light of the world." Now I want you to know something in this miracle. Jesus hasn't talked to the blind man yet. Jesus is talking to the disciples. Look at the story. After saying this, after Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," verse 6 says this. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Like I said, Jesus hasn't talked to the man yet. He says to the disciples, "But while I'm here, I'm the light of the world." And then a pause. And the blind man sitting there could sense there's people around him, but it's gotten quiet. And the next sound he hears is a disgusting sound. You didn't think that's how it happened? You think there was miracle spit from heaven? It says Jesus used his saliva. Jesus got down on his knee and he starts mixing his spit, his saliva into the dust. He's trying to make mud. It takes more than one spit. Come on. It's in the book. Jesus is making mud. Oh, by the way, for you legalists, it's the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. He's kneading mud. Oh, I need a little more spit. Then Jesus takes the mud. Remember, he hasn't spoken to the blind man yet. He hasn't said boo to him. takes up this mud, for lack of a better term, and without asking permission, he smacks it on his eyes. A blind man must have jumped back at first. Like, no warning. And he feels this damp, smelly thing on his face. And now Jesus speaks to him. Says, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. That's all Jesus said to him. By the way, Jesus never told him he'd see. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, to you and me, we think that's easy, but you and me can see. You see, the temple area, in my very rough calculations, is about a kilometer from the pool of Siloam. So now you need to imagine with me. Probably winding, dusty road. Remember, the city is full. People have come from all around for the feast. And they're all at the end of the feast and they're celebrating heavy. And the man's got to make his way from where Jesus is, near the temple area is our guess, to the pool of Siloam. By the way, the pool of Siloam is a lower spot in the city. It's one of the lowest parts of the city. And the man's got to make his way through crowded streets. He's blind. He's got mud on his face. He's got to make his way down from the city towards the pool area. And then when he gets to the pool area, he's got to travel down many, many steps, rough steps. So up there at the top is the temple area, that big square. And there's the pool of Siloam. I circled it for you. And remember those that red? This red here is Hezekiah's tunnel from the Gishon Springs. And so it would look, so this tunnel here, let me tell you about this tunnel. It's called Hezekiah's tunnel. See, King Hezekiah, hundreds of years before this, was afraid that Jerusalem could be sieged, and if it was sieged, it would have no water supply. So he built that underground tunnel, and he took the water from the Gishon Spring and brought it, and he built the Pool of Siloam. And so the Pool of Siloam was a place of fresh water. So when the city was sieged, years later, Jerusalem had fresh water. Pool of Siloam, it was their fresh water. It also became a place of cleansing for ceremonial cleansing and cleanliness. And so this is the Pool of Siloam. And that next picture gives you, it's a more current excavation, but this area to the bottom right, left, sorry, my right, your left, the bottom left, where you see trees and shrubs and greenery, that's probably where the mass of the pool was. And these were the steps coming way down from the city. You see the city at the top? The blind man walked a kilometer from the temple to the pool area, and then the blind man had to make his way down those steps to get himself to the waters of the pool of Siloam. Can you imagine how he must have felt? Can you imagine all the mixed up feelings going through his head? Can you imagine him thinking, I'm sitting there begging and suddenly they call me a sinner. And then some guy is disgusting. And he slaps mud on me without asking me. And he sends me through the crowded city, through the crowded streets to get to probably, I'm going to guess, one of the lowest points of the city. What am I doing this for? But then he remembered those words. But while I am here, I am the light of the world. For a man who's lived in blackness. Can you imagine? Imagine how he must have felt as he was walking, scuffling maybe, towards that pool area. We don't know if anybody helped him. The Bible doesn't say anybody did. Doesn't say they didn't, I know, but doesn't say they did. So let's imagine it's just him. He's got to make his way. And I mean, people must, he's got to feel Like people are looking at him. He's got this mud caked on his face. And now it's drying up because it's there. It's caking. It's smelly. It's uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's uncomfortable when you do what God tells you to do. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. Sometimes, Pastor, it's hard. This man walked through the crowded city blind. This man made it down those steps to the pool. And you're worried that you can't get in your car to get to church on Sunday morning? Oh, it's so hard. What will people think of me leaving my house so early every Sunday? Who cares? Here's a man with mud caked on his face walking through the crowded city. Wondering, why am I doing this? I don't even know why I'm doing this. Somebody told me to do this. But maybe he really is the light of the world. Maybe, just maybe, he really, really can do something for me. I mean, they've told me I would never see. He makes it down all those steps, and he gets down to the water's edge, and I could just imagine he feels for it. There it is. He's felt the water before. Oh, it feels nice. It's hot. And he starts to scoop it up. And the mud comes from his eyes. And as he washes his face, he opens his eyes and, oh, that's bright. It's bright. Why is it bright? He covers up and then he peeks. He wipes it up and you know, it's like when you come from a dark place to the bright light, but remember, all your life you've been in a dark place and suddenly there's bright light. And he opens his eyes and he looks up and he sees a ball of fire. He looks up and he sees a blue sky. He doesn't know it's a blue sky, but it's a blue sky because he doesn't know what blue is because he's got no point of reference. He looks around and he sees trees, but he's not sure what they are, but they're trees. Water, he's familiar, he's felt water. He cups it in his hand, he goes, oh, it's nothing, it's just wet. It's liquid, it's got nothing, I can see my hand through it. He looks in the pool and he sees his reflection for the first time. Oh, and I think he was, you know, just so quiet. Oh, look, isn't this nice? I don't think so. I think he's going, oh my! Oh wow! Wow! Oh, I'm ugly. Oh wow! He's looking, I think he's looking around. I think people are watching him. I mean, you can't help but notice the poor blind beggar who crawled down those steps, but now he stands up and he goes, I can see! I can see! I can see! I can see! Hey, I can see! Does anybody care? I can see! I can see! Oh, I can see! I don't understand! He went. He obeyed. He stepped out in faith. He went. He obeyed. He stepped out in faith. Wow. You see, you have to understand that if you're going to walk with Jesus, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, there's going to come a point in time where you're going to need to walk, where you're going to need to step out in faith, where you're going to just do what Jesus says, even if you don't understand it. Even if you don't understand it. See, it's obedience to Jesus is what makes us see. This man could have sat at the side of the road and said to Jesus, who are you to tell me to make it to the pool of Siloam? And we've all done that. We've all heard the Spirit of God speak to our hearts and we've said no. We've all heard the Spirit of God speak to our hearts and whisper something into our hearts and we've all said, I don't think so. You can't make me. But obedience to God's word is what makes us see. If Jesus can heal a man born blind, he can do anything. If Jesus can heal a man born blind, he can get you out of your financial mess. If Jesus can heal a man born blind, he can get you out of your relational mess. If Jesus can heal a man born blind, he can get you out of whatever mess you got yourself into, even if it wasn't your fault. If you let him. If you let him. If you listen to him. If you follow his directions. If you step out in faith. Are you willing to do what Jesus tells you? Are you willing to follow Jesus' direction? Are you willing to listen to what Jesus tells you? You might sit here and say, Pastor, I don't know what Jesus is saying. I would say to you, then read the book. Because if you read the book, you'll find what Jesus is saying. You can sit here and say, Pastor, I don't understand what's in the book. And I would remind you, you think the blind man understood? You think he had a clue? I personally don't. I mean, I'm going to guess he had a frame of reference that he heard the rumblings about Jesus, but he had never met Jesus. You say it's hard to do what Jesus says. I remind you, you think it was easy for the blind man to make it down to the waters of the pool of Siloam? Blind, a kilometer away, below city level, blind, in a city swarming with thousands of extra people. See, there comes a point when you're serious about following Jesus that you're going to have to stop trying to understand it all and you're going to start believing it all. I got news for you. You want the unpopular truth? Following Jesus is not easy. Following Jesus always involves faith. Following Jesus means you allow him to direct your path, your ways, your steps. Following Jesus means you're obedient to what he says, even when you don't like it. And especially when you don't understand it. The story ends in verse 8. And it says this. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed he was. Others said, no, he just looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus. Remember, he doesn't even know him. The man they called Jesus. The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Self-explanatory. They questioned him. Are you the one? Yeah, I'm the one. You sure you're him? I mean, he's a blind beggar down by the temple area. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm him. How can you see? The man they called Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud, threw it on my eyes, and told me to go for a walk, to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And now I see. I thought I would never see. But now I see. I was blind, but I met Jesus, and now I see. There's words you all know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. So the reality, folks, is some of us who can see are still blind. You can see with your physical eyes, but maybe you're not looking with your spiritual eyes. And your spiritual eyes have been blind. See, with Jesus, you'll learn to never say never. With Jesus, you should understand that you should never say never to that problem you're facing, to that issue at work, to that marital problem, to the financial situation you find yourself in, to that loneliness or to that depression. Never say never where Jesus is concerned. Never say never, because you just don't know when Jesus might spit at you and fix your problem. Would you stand with me this morning? Worship team, would you come back? Can't leave you without the sign. I think you should have figured it out by now. I've given you all kinds of clues. The sign in this miracle provides us with a sign. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus goes to a man born blind who does not know light. And he proclaims in front of him, I am the light of the world. Jesus spits and makes mud and puts it on his face and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus shows us that we live in darkness without him. But if we accept him into our lives, we live in the light. Jesus came to give sight to all those who were blind, especially spiritually blind. Some of you have been waiting on God to magically change your situations, but this story teaches us something different, that God is waiting on you to move in obedience to the word he's already given you. The blind man had to make a difficult journey through a crowded city to make it to the pool of Siloam in order to obey Jesus' word. What is Jesus asking you to do in obedience to him? So that's the question today. What's Jesus asking you to do today? Are you finding it difficult to obey God? Are you afraid to trust in Jesus' word? Do you need to step out in faith today? Do you need to act on what God has said to you? Has Jesus given you directions, but you're ignoring them? Do you have too much pride to obey God? Are you not willing to put aside your desires and your thoughts in order to follow Jesus' commands? What is Jesus asking you to do in obedience to him? Who are you in this story? Are you the blind man who's ready and willing to see Jesus? Or are you the legally religious who are self-righteous on their own? Who are you in this story? Are you the blind man who can see the light? Or are you the ones who could see but are spiritually blind? Who are you in this story? What is Jesus asking you to do in obedience to him? How many of you need to take a step of faith today? How many of you need to step out and say, God, I will follow you wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you tell me. I don't have to understand it all. I just have to believe it all. What do you have to do to be obedient to Jesus today? Do you need prayer today? Maybe you're here and you're spiritually blind. You don't know Jesus. He's the man you've heard about. He's the one they talk about at church. Oh, they make a big deal about him at Christmas and Easter. But basically, you don't know anything about Jesus. But you're here today. And something is drawing you. Something has got your heart racing. Something has got your mind rolling. You're asking yourself, is this Jesus really real? If you don't believe me, ask the blind man who once was blind, but now he sees. Nobody could tell him Jesus wasn't real. And that's where we all need to get to. A place where no matter what happens, we know that Jesus is real. Do you need prayer today? Are you spiritually blind? Do you want to meet Jesus? Then in a moment, I'm going to tell you you can. We'll show you how. Do you need prayer today? Are you having difficulty trusting God? You know, you've read the Bible, you've tried to read the Bible, and there's things in there that you just struggle with. Welcome to life. Do you think us Christians have it all together? Oh, we have Jesus, and Jesus helps us hold it all together. But I can be the first one to tell you that this person standing in front of you is nothing near perfect. I have four witnesses for you. Sylvie, David, Sarah, and Esther. My family. They can tell you easily. Are you having difficulty trusting God? Are you in need of prayer today? Are you kicking against Jesus' word? He's telling you to go wash in the pool of Siloam and you're saying, you can't make me move. Do you need prayer today? Are you in need of a miracle today? Whatever that miracle might be. Are you at the place, you're that blind man begging at the side of the road where people told him he would never ever see. It wasn't capable. It wasn't possible. He's born with a genetic defect that nothing in mankind could ever hold to him. But he didn't know that one day the creator of the universe was going to walk by his spot and say, I am the light of the world. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. You see, when the creator of the universe steps into your spot, everything is possible. When the creator of the universe steps into the position where you are, when the creator of the universe reaches into the spot where you are, into the difficulty where you are, all he has to do is speak to the situation and it could be gone. Do you need prayer today? I have some friends who want to pray with you today. Would you guys come? We have some people who have been preparing for this morning, for this moment, right here in this service today. What is Jesus asking you to do in obedience to him? Some of you need to take a walk. It may not be a walk to the pool of Siloam. It may be a walk to the altar of a church. Some of you need to step out in obedience to what God is saying. So if that's you this morning, I invite you to come right now. Just step out of your seats. We're not doing anything extremely formal. Just go to anybody you want to go to for prayer. You need a miracle. You need a healing. You need to trust God. You're spiritually blind. You say, I want to meet Jesus. These people will introduce you to Jesus this morning. They'll welcome you into a family of faith, the family of God. If everybody's busy, just line up behind somebody. Do you need prayer today? Then you need to come.